You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
You're listening to another episode of the Cosmic Code Podcast, where we bring you guests from many different fields with the particularity of they are people who do what they love what they do, and they do it with passion, with devotion and dedication to bring you ideas and help you enhance your personal mindset, whatever it is that you're following and doing. And today, a very special guest, dear friend of mine and the gentleman who's recovered my entire sleeves, is a well-known tattoo artist. We're here with Josh Schneider from Marginalized Tattoos in Los Angeles. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Hey, Vince. I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing quite phenomenal. Doing my best to find and provide inspiration. And I'm very excited. I've been a fan of tattoos for as long as I could remember. When I was a little kid, I did pretend tattoos and went to the sun, hoping that it would leave a mark behind. But let's talk about you, Josh. I really appreciate you making the time. So how did the vocation of tattooing come to be for you?
Well, thank you for asking me on your program. I appreciate that. And I do love tattooing more than anything. It's probably been one of the few things in my life that has, like, really changed me and shaped things in a positive direction. My first sort of experiences with tattoos was, you know, my dad started getting them in the early 80s when it really wasn't acceptable. And I remember him, back then they had, like, these little paint-on kits. And, you know, you could paint the designs on it. They last for like a week. And I remember I was in like fifth or sixth grade, and he sent me to school, and I had this little tattoo of like two hearts with a lightning bolt through it. And I rolled my sleeve up to show it off. And the kids, you know, when you're little, they think it's real. And yeah, my dad signed for it, you know. And, but I remember always having that idea that like it was just this amazing thing, you know. And then, you know, while growing up watching wrestling and stuff back then, it was only like the tough guys that had it. And, you know, back then, you remember too, I'm sure, like, it was not an accessible thing. It wasn't acceptable at all. It was definitely an outlaw type thing. And when you're young, that's very attractive, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. And even in the movies and stuff, in the 80s, it was still real, you know. Anyways, so for me, I was always attracted to the art since I was a little kid. And then, you know, growing up, I always wanted to get them, and I couldn't wait until I was old enough. And, you know, I started getting tattooed like the day that I turned 18. I had been saving, and I had all these ideas. And I remember my, you know, getting my first tattoo, and it wasn't a great experience. It was like this coked up biker and, you know, all sorts of, it wasn't a great situation, but like, I remember having this moment where it was like, if this guy can do it, I can definitely do it. Because I knew I took it a lot more seriously. And I had been in school to be, you know, I was studying like comic book stuff and like medical illustration and all that. But the moment getting my first tattoo was a complete game changer. And it was like, no, this is what I want to do. And so that was in the mid-90s. And it took me 4 years to get my apprenticeship, which I did in New York. And it was before the internet and all TV shows and all that, so you had to, you know, get tattooed to get information. And that's what I did, and I got my apprenticeship in the early part of 1999, and then the rest has been history since then.
Now, I'm curious, because you make it sound very simple, and yet many have that as an aspiration. So what was also part of the process in you eventually having your own shop and, you know, sticking with it to inspire those who have a passion and are at an early starting stage?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said briefly there, you know, back when I was starting, like, no one was in the business of sharing any kind of information at all. And the only way you could even get any was to pay to get tattooed and ask questions. And that was kind of how I got my foot in the door. And the shop I was getting tattooed at, eventually is the place that I got my apprenticeship at, because I had sort of paid my way in there to for the information. Obviously, these days it's a lot easier to get information. I mean, people can go on YouTube, the Instagram, all these things. So it's a little bit less. I don't know what the right word, but I won't say it's not as special, but it's the process of receiving information is a little less cryptic these days. It's a little easier to get all these things, but the experience of like having someone show you how to like paint or make needles or like this is how you set this up, like the way that it was done for me, I would never want to change it. It took me years to get my foot in the door. And so when I finally did, I really, really appreciate it. And I held on to it like it was a special thing. And that's still how I treat it, you know, 21 years later. You know, I love tattooing more than anything. And, you know, anytime people come in and they want to try to, like, approach me about learning or getting their foot in the door, I kind of just tell them the same thing, you know. It's like, hey, nothing is free in life. If you want to get, you know, you want to be a tattoo artist, first you got to get tattooed, which means you got to pay. And, you know, feel free to ask some questions then. But ultimately, you're going to have to draw, you're going to have to paint, and you're going to have to really dedicate yourself to this thing. And speaking from only my experience, like, that should be a pleasure to do, because I wouldn't want to do it any other way.
Now, Josh, I've gotten tattoos in many different countries, cities. You genuinely have a standard of work, precision, and quality that is above and beyond. So I'm curious, what's your personal mindset that supports that?
Well, thank you for that, Vince. I think it's sort of it's like a multifaceted thing for me. I'm a firm believer in, like, you get what you pay for. So, like, I've been tattooed. I've paid to get tattooed by some amazing artists from all over the country. I've traveled to other countries to get tattooed. And a lot of people I know these days do that now. And from an artistic standpoint, you're paying for your own education. You know, like, for me, I get tattooed by somebody I respect. I feel like I'm an apprentice again, and I'm asking questions. And, you know, respectfully, of course, but, like, I'm getting a little bit more knowledge and a little bit more insight into this person's individual sort of process. And to me, like, respect is a huge thing with tattooing, you know, and I still get nervous when I go into shops that I've never been in, and it makes me feel like I was, you know, 18, 17-year-old again, you know. And for me, when it comes to the quality of the work, like, when I pay to get tattooed, I expect a certain level of quality, and I feel like the clients should expect the same thing. So to me, there is no sick days. If I can't tattoo, I don't come in. You know, like, there's no half-assing it with tattooing. And I feel like this is this amazing art form that only a few people get to practice and to practice well. So it's a huge, and you know this from getting tattooed, it's a huge trust exercise to get tattooed. And it's a huge, it's a painful process. It's mentally taxing. You know, it's not like going to a gallery and picking a piece off the wall. It's a whole process. So to me, there's like a relationship and a trust that's built in with this. And to me, it's disrespectful to the lineage of tattooing and to, like, the people that taught me to approach it with anything less than, like, everything that I have to give it. Even if it's something small, like, this person is trusting me to permanently alter the makeup of their skin for the rest of their lives. I better make sure that I'm coming correct, no matter what it is, because that's what this person deserves.
That's really wonderful, Josh. And I want to outline for our listeners that there's some real backbone in what you're sharing right there. You know, a real true code of ethics and code of respect and the establishing the trust. So I think that this is valid for any profession or any field or endeavor.
Absolutely.
Many are asking, you know, we help people with fashion, we help people with getting their sense of their image and so on. So what recommendations in terms of choosing what tattoo to get, especially if it's the first one, the location, mm-hmm. the body location, or tips to assist people with that process?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question. So there's not many things that I can say that I've actually made up. This might be one. I could be totally wrong, but I started telling this to people a long time ago because people would ask, like, oh, you know, I like tattoos, but I don't know what to get, blah, blah, blah. So what I would recommend before I was like, okay, get a general idea of the image that you want. So say you want, a skull. So you go to, now it's easy. You just go to Google, type in skull tattoos, whatever. You kind of get a general idea of what it is that you like. You're not going to get exactly this thing, but as close as you can get it. You print it out and you put it on your bathroom vanity mirror. So every time you go to the bathroom and you look in the mirror, you're looking at this drawing or this picture of the tattoo. And I used to tell people, leave it up for a month and you'll know better. But the reality is if you do that for a week and you find yourself getting excited to go to the bathroom so that you could go look at the picture on the mirror, that's probably what you're supposed to have. as far as placement goes, you know, when you and I were younger, getting tattooed was like, you didn't really want it visible. You know, you certainly wouldn't do the hands or the neck. And it's like the rule book has completely changed now. I mean, it was frowned upon to even get visible neck or hand tattoos in the 90s or even 2000s, early 2000s. But now, you know, there's a lot of jobs that are, it doesn't really matter. So I still try to use a little bit of discretion for that, especially with younger people. Like, you know, if someone has no tattoos and they want to get their hand or their neck blasted right out of the gate, it's like, well, maybe that's not such a great idea. A, it hurts. And then B, you know, you got to think about your future, whatever it is that you're doing with work, you know. And it's not like you got to be, you know, you got to hide it. But, you know, you could still get your forearms tattooed and be a lawyer or a doctor and cover them up if you had to. I understand a lot of people, you know, oh, I don't want to do a job like that. I totally understand that. I feel the same way. But especially when you're young, you know, maybe the hand or the neck tattoo isn't the best thing right out of the gate, especially face stuff. I mean, I have 95% of my body tattooed and I don't have face tattoos. It's no judgment against people that do, but I've seen a lot of people with face tattoos, and that's a huge one because, you know, people got to look you in the eye pretty much every day of your life. So, you know, it's going to definitely alter people's perceptions. And, you know, I love having tattoos. I love doing tattoos. I love everything about it. But there's a certain responsibility with ownership when it comes to what you're going to have tattooed. And, you know, if someone doesn't have a lot of tattoos or they're just starting out, I will definitely take extra time during the consultation process to make sure that they're not getting something that they're, you know, that they're understanding what it is that they're committing to, because this isn't, you know, a situation where you can just take it off and switch it around, you know? So it's like, I definitely, it's important that people understand the responsibility of the wearer, because you're going to have this image that people are going to be seeing, whether it's for you or not, doesn't make any difference. But if people can see it, you know, you got to think about that as well, I think.
Many of our listeners will find it interesting also that they're familiar with the work of Frank White, and Frank White did get tattooed by you as well. So I just wanted to throw that side note. And it's been quite an evolution. You know, we also have on board with us, there's Brian Casella, the real estate agent. And when I met him a couple of years ago, he was wearing a suit and so on. And recently, big surprise, I see him again, and he's fully covered both arms, totally sleeved. So there's a great evolution. I was invited to be on that video a couple of years ago, ATTN, about tattoos and piercings in the workforce. The video went so viral, 47 million views globally. And wow. I think that it's really evolving. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I've been getting tattooed for, I don't know, 25 years now, I think. And the world has definitely changed. You know, I think living here in Los Angeles, like, it's a pretty acceptable place to be an individual, especially in Hollywood. And so I feel like I get a different idea of what is sort of acceptable and what's not. And then when I travel to other parts of the country or the world or whatever, and, you know, then I'll get a few looks and I'm like, oh, right, because every place is different, you know. And, you know, it's I never thought – I mean, I remember, you know – be just from my experience being like a young man in the 90s, like if I saw a girl with half sleeves, I thought that was a huge deal, you know, and now it's not even a big deal to see a girl with full sleeves, you know? So it's interesting, like how the evolution of things change. Like everything is very acceptable. I mean, hand tattoos and neck tattoos used to be a big deal. And I remember they were a big deal when I got them done, and now it's not so much. I don't know that it'll ever change for face tattoos, though. There's still a big shock factor for that. Especially, like, I'm not saying little things here and there, but when you see someone with full coverage, it definitely is a very strong impact. And, you know, but who knows? I mean, 20 years from now, who knows where the world will be? But it's even interesting to watch it in movies and stuff. You see a lot more people with tattoos. I mean, I remember kind of what changed it was a really, like, Dennis Rodman, honestly. He was the first person in sports that had tattooed and, like, had, like, piercings and weird colored hair. I don't even like sports, but, like, I remember that being a thing. And he kind of single-handedly changed. I mean, now if you see an NBA player that doesn't have tattoos, it's weird, you know? So it's interesting to see
that
one
thing that now.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Now it's the norm to have sleeves in the NBA. But nobody really had anything before he came out. And then all of a sudden, it's like the doors are open and nobody cares. You know, and tattoos are a very special thing, but it's also an individual choice, which is what makes it so amazing. It's like one of the few things in life that, like, no one can tell you what to do, and it's ultimately your responsibility. Whatever you if you decide you want to get tattooed, it's like one of those very, very few things that, like, you get the say on it and no one has any sort of, you know, judgment over that. I mean, they can judge you, but, like, you have the final say on what you want to wear. And it's a pretty unique thing when it comes to the permanency of it, you know.
Josh, how would you best define your personal style of tattooing?
Okay, well, my style is... I love traditional Japanese work. I love Americana work, and I love sort of horror, black and gray stuff. So my stuff, you know, I kind of the Japanese, I keep pretty traditional, you know, full back pieces, sleeves, stuff like that. The Americana stuff, I always like to have a little bit of a horror edge thrown into it. Not no disrespect to, like, people who like traditional Americana stuff, and I can do that too, but I just like things with a little bit of a darker edge to it, and that kind of permeates through, like, all of my interests in life, like the art that I like to collect, the movies I like, the music I like. I just like everything with a little bit of kind of a darker edge to it. I just find things that when you run things through a filter like that, it makes things just it changes things just a little bit. But you know, I like I don't mind doing some fine line work, but I like bold stuff. I love the color black. And for tattoos and longevity, the key is to have black in whatever you're going to do, whether it's color or black and gray. So I just like doing tattoos on people that I know in 20 years is still going to look good. And I can say that because I've seen tattoos that I did 20 years ago, and they're still in there.
And you paint also, Josh.
I do. Yep. I do a mixture, depending on what the subject is. I like liquid acrylic. I love silk paint, and I like watercolor. And I kind of trade off between the three of those in the same piece, depending on what every sort of different media will have different shades and different colors that I like better. But my paintings are definitely a reflection of the styles that I like, and you know, it's a really fun exercise. It also is great because one of the manufacturers who makes liquid acrylic also makes some of the ink that I use, so I can kind of color match my paintings to give people a better idea of what their tattoos are going to look like.
Now, you've been established and successful for over two decades. What tips would you recommend for artists or people in general who are following their passion, and it's not necessarily mainstream, who want to establish a steady business? So from a business standpoint, what recommendation, you know, to establish themselves and also stay steady?
Okay, that's a great question too. Honestly, like whatever it is you're trying to do, music, movies, art, whatever, to me, I thought it was very important to simplify things. So like before I was tattooing, I used to like play in bands, and I would do this and that. And I realized that like if I this is speaking only for myself, if I wanted to get the best that I could possibly be at something, I needed to focus on just that one thing. And it's not to say that you can't do other things, but to me, I had to be honest with myself. Like I was a mediocre punk rock guitarist. I was never going to make a living out of it, no matter how happy it made me. So to me, it was like, okay, I love tattooing. It brings me more joy. Let's try to put as much focus into this as I can. And now I don't play music anymore, but I love going to shows and supporting people. And, you know, like there's always a way to do these things. Whatever it is that you're going to do, I think that it's important to just, you know, really, you know, just dive in with it, you know, be as good as you can be, you know, collect, you know, if you are making music, you got to buy music, you got to go to shows, you got to buy merch, you know, whatever it is, you need to invest in your own industry, because ultimately, if you're supporting other people, you know, they're going to support you. And, you know, it's some of the best things that I've learned from my job have been learned by paying to get tattooed. Like little tricks that I could never figure out design wise, I watched someone put them on me or draw them on me, and it was like, oh my God, that's how you do it. But I wouldn't have ever learned it if I wouldn't have paid to have been tattooed. And so whatever kind of business you're, you know, if you're trying to do, it's like it's important to invest in these things that will help teach you, you know, whether it's books or paintings or whatever, you know, it's important to have these things, you know, like I'm looking at my place right now and I'm surrounded by all these beautiful movie posters and skateboards that other people have drawn that I can kind of run through my own filter and use for my own purposes. But like, I love having it straight from the source and having these beautiful things to look at, to kind of run through my own filter, which the longer you do something, the more you'll be able to really kind of create your own version of what it is you're trying to do, the more you stick with it.
Josh, for the sake of entertainment, wildest tattooing story.
Oh boy, wildest tattooing. well, I've had a few. You know, I was tattooing in Australia for a while, and you know, the guys down there, it's a very rowdy country, at least it was when I was there. And the shop I was in was like an outlaw biker shop, and the clients were having a few pregame beverages, and I had to wake them up for their tattoo appointment because they were passed out on the table. And, but, you know, that was business as usual down there. You know, I've had people pass out on me. I've had them throw up. I've had people get tattooed by, you know, they say, you know, do whatever you want and you do something and they love it. You know, I did this beautiful Japanese demon mask on a guy, and, you know, it was like one of my favorite tattoos at the time, and he loved it. 2 days later, he calls me up and he's like, hey, what can we do to cover this? And I was like, why? I'm like, what's wrong with the tattoo? He's like, oh, nothing. But I was at a bar, you know, a couple days ago, and these girls asked me why I had the devil on my arm and now I don't want it. And I was like, well, I didn't design that to be covered, and it's not even healed yet. He ended up getting the entire thing lasered, like, which at the time took, like, years, and then we ended up doing a full sleeve over the empty arm. And this is a grown-ass man. He was, like, in his mid-30s at the time, you know. And the shop is always a colorful place, too. You know, you never know what condition someone is going to be when they come in. Last couple of years, we had a guy come in just for a normal consultation, seemed harmless enough. My coworker was trying to get back to work, so he was like, okay, you know, I'll talk to you later. And the guy wouldn't leave. He kept talking to him. And then it kept escalating, and, you know, he's trying to ask the guy to leave, and he's not leaving. So we finally get him out the door, lock the door, and he's trying to open the door with his own head. just like banging. He's probably on meth or something. But like just for like 20 minutes, and we're both trying to tattoo in the shop. And he's just like banging his head on the door, like so loud you can't even hear anything. We end up going out with baseball bats, and he still won't leave. And then eventually we call the cops, and as soon as the cops showed up, obviously, then he listened to reason. But, like, the clients were, like, threatening the guy, too. He was nuts. But, you know, you never know what's going to walk in the door. 99.9% of the time it's not like that. But, you know, every day is different.
Now, speaking of covering up, you know, many people are not aware that, like, I was surprised me when I first came to get tattooed by you. I had a layer underneath, and your cover-up work is really also surreal. Any special approach to that? Because really, you couldn't tell that I had a prior layer. Sometimes people ask me, and I tell them, and they're almost thinking I'm making it up. It's absolutely brilliant. So tips and reassurance for those who may have a tattoo and they didn't know that it could really be covered up. And I mean, I had some of them with a large surface of totally colored in. And even though it was the case, it didn't matter. You covered that up in a way that you wouldn't detect that there was anything underneath.
Oh, well, thank you, Vince. Yeah, no, your stuff was great to work on. You had a few things that were to your advantage. There's a lot of, like, lighter black and gray in there. Some of the stuff was older as well. And the items or the subject matter that you were picking from for the cover-ups involved a lot of, you know, bold lines, good colors, lots of black in the background. And that's kind of the key, really, for any kind of a cover-up is, you know, whenever someone comes in for a cover-up, I kind of try to work backwards with it because a lot of people don't get a cover-up because they think they're like, oh, I don't even know what I would get. So when someone comes in, I look at the item that is supposed to be covered. I'm like, okay, if you could have three things without worrying about if it's a cover-up or not, if you could pick three different things you would want to get tattooed, tell me what they would be. And usually one of those things will work for a good cover-up, you know. And so then they feel more of a sense of ownership where they're like, well, I actually do want to get this, and then I find a way to make it work. The styles that I use, there's usually a good amount of black in it, so that helps a lot with the cover-up. And it really just depends on what it is. You know, I've actually had some cover-up work done in the last couple of years from, like, one of my favorite artists of all time, and he discussed a lot of stuff with theories of cover-up and then another style of cover-up, which is called the blast-over. And a blast, the difference being a cover-up, you're kind of going for the idea that no one can tell what's under it before. A blast-over is more like you're putting another coat on something, and it's okay if things pop through here or there. You, the client and the artist are both okay with that. But he was he kind of schooled me on a lot of color theories that work better for blast-overs and cover-ups, more opaque pigment and color choices work better. And, you know, I was able to get some stuff that I never thought I'd be able to get rid of and, you know, it had some amazing things done. So a lot, it's a combination of style of what you're looking for, subject matter, and then, you know, sort of color space. But, you know, I do a lot of cover-ups. Someone asked me the other day how many names they thought I'd cover. It's got to be hundreds, if not thousands. And, you know, flowers always work the best for name cover-ups. So as long as the client is willing to give me a little bit of wiggle room, we can usually come up with some pretty good options. I really enjoy doing cover-ups because, you know, you're taking something that somebody is unhappy with and you're able to put a new spin on it. And usually if you can do a cover-up for somebody and they're happy with it, you got their business for the long haul after that, you know.
Now, Josh, part of my own passion, and I think also part of the essence of enriching ourselves all the time, I love to detect qualities and, you know, the structure of success. And as I observe you and get to know each other through time, I notice that you both extremely zen while also truly efficient. What's your mindset at that level?
Oh, thank you. Well, like I kind of touched on earlier, like tattooing is this very important thing to me. So whether it's conscious or not, I definitely have my process, you know, for setting up. And once I get started, You know, I try to put my phone on silent. I never look at my phone unless I'm taking a break. So that's first of all. Like, to me, if someone is paying me to do art, especially on them permanently, they are my focus. Nothing else is. So at the shop, it's sort of a more appointment-only setting, so there's not a lot of foot traffic, which is great. So basically all I'm doing is I put music on that we agree on, and then the client is my priority from the second they come in until they leave, because now this is my job, and anything else that's going on in my life disappears at that point. And that's what I love about tattooing, is that because of the focus that I'm able to give it, and I think because of the respect that I have for it, everything else just disappears. If I'm having a bad day, or if I'm doing this or that, like, the tattooing just, that becomes my thing. And so when I'm doing it, it just, you know, and there is a process to everything. Everyone has a process for how they create something. So obviously it's like outline first, then black, and then colors from dark to light, or just shading from dark to light. So to me, it's definitely, you know, I'm definitely sort of a creature of habit, and I definitely enjoy having, like, okay, this is how it begins and this is how it ends. And I enjoy the routine and the structure of it, you know. And I think a lot of other kinds of art may have kind of a looser structure, but tattooing has a very specific structure to it, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it when I get tattooed. And everybody who tattoos or does that has their own version of it. But, everything else kind of disappears, and that's why it's such a unique thing, you know?
Yeah, and we see it in the way you run your place. You know, it's really impeccable, and it really stands out. So that leads me to the question for people who are on different continents listening. What recommendations when it comes to look for a place and selecting an artist?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's some amazing artists all over the world. And I think a lot of people use the internet to find folks these days, which is good. But, you know, nothing beats going in and looking through a portfolio or just talking to somebody. Personally, for me, you know, like I found a guy to tattoo my armpits a few years ago, and I never really thought about it. And then this guy, who I was aware of because he's well known, he kept posting these amazing armpit tattoos he was doing on Instagram. And I was like, shit, man. Well, now I think I want to get my armpits tattooed. And so then I took it from that to, like, I don't even know if I reached out to him first. I think I just went right to the shop and, you know, figured out when he was going to be in and set up a consultation with him. So then you have a face-to-face consultation. I had a chance to look through his work, which I already knew. But the key is, like, I don't want to give anybody money who is going to be an asshole to me, you know? And, like, I feel like the client deserves to be treated well during their experience. And so, you know, I could have had this amazing artist who I respected, and he could have just been an asshole, and I wouldn't have wanted to get tattooed. So, you know, finding the art you like, doing a face-to-face consultation, getting a good vibe off the person is important, and then scheduling the appointment. And, you know, we ended up doing a bunch of work together, and, you know, he's a really nice guy. And
well, it appears that Josh got disconnected on his side, so most likely he's going to call right back. By the way, we have the Cosmic Code Convention coming up, and as part of a category of speakers that exercise their passion, Josh will be there, and you'll find it interesting also to know that Josh is the one doing the graphic artwork, the actually artwork for the logo for the convention. So I'm unable to interrupt the call right now. We're going to give it just a moment more. Of course, if you're local, there you are. Back,
Josh Schneider.
Welcome back. All right.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, I was telling people, no problem. I was telling people that we just made the decision that you would do the logo for the upcoming convention that we have. And Josh, I really want to thank you. I have a passion for people who exercise their passion, and it's kind of a big part of what we want to bring to people, you know, follow your heart. So what to you is the essence of exercising your passion?
Well, I feel like if you're lucky enough to find something that makes you happy, to do that, you know, and if you get a chance to do that and then you're able to actually make a living off of it, that is like, that's really the gift, you know, like to be an artist and be able to support myself off of doing art is like, that's, I think that's every creative person's dream, no matter what, how that manifests. So if you find something that brings you joy and then it can bring joy to others, that's amazing. And whatever it is, you just do it to the best of your abilities, you know, try to get as good as you can at it, you know, and ultimately, like, if something makes you happy, it's good, you're going to want to keep doing it and you're going to want to share it with people. And, you know, the sort of the energy, people pick up on that, you know, and, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to pay for knowledge if you need to. And, you know, just for me, understanding that, like, there is no one person who's better than anybody else at anything. I've constantly gotten better as an artist. And my experience of working with other artists, like, they kind of feel the same way. You know, it's like they just, everyone is just trying to get better and trying to up their game, and just, you know, it's a beautiful, never-ending sort of creative journey, and it's amazing to be a part of any of it, no matter what it is that you're trying to do.
So, Josh, your social media, so people can see your work, both your painting. I know I'm following you on Instagram, Facebook. I see your work there, the tattooing that you do, but also the painting and also the painting. So what I will put it also to be certain in the description of the podcast. For now, what's your social media?
Sure. Instagram is just one word, Josh Schneider Tattoo, JOSHSCHNEIDERTATTOO. And then my Facebook is just Josh Schneider.
So be certain to follow Josh. Of course, if you're listening and you're in California, make the trip, go see him in person. And if you ever pass through Los Angeles, well, you know where to get tattooed. Now, in the meantime, Josh, thank you so much. That was very, very rich. And also thank you for the experience. To me, getting tattooed is beyond just getting the tattoo. It's the experience. And I know we sometimes laugh that it's almost visiting you. It's almost like that book that was written some time ago, like Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. So for me, it's like Zen and the Art of Getting Tattooed. In conclusion, also, I really wanted to touch on that because I know that a prime aspect of life is also our relation with time. And it's been another passion of mine, you know, time efficiency. I know a lot of our listeners study that and so on. And I found that right there, you're quite thorough with time. You have very interesting systems. So does that come naturally, or you've studied some time efficiency?
Well, I think just sort of the nature of the job, you know, it's people want to know how long something's going to take. And then the longer you do the process, you get to kind of figure it out. Yeah, I feel like I've been a pretty efficient person, I guess, but tattooing for 21 years has definitely made me a bit more efficient. So now when I give estimates, it's usually pretty right on the money. And, you know, that helps for scheduling and what have you, so that no one is stuck waiting around for an hour. And I have a lot of respect for people's time. And the fact that people want to spend time and money to hang out with me and get tattooed is, it's like I respect that a lot. So I definitely don't like my time wasted, so I definitely don't want to do that to others. So it's, I think it just kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, I really respect, because, you know, you see so many people that are either behind, rushing, stressed out. And for you, every time that I see you, you kind of in that flow. So another remarkable aspect. So thank you so much, Josh, once again. Everybody, you are listening to another episode of the Cosmic Code Podcast in preparation to the convention we have coming up. And today we had the pleasure to be visited and to visit with Josh Schneider from Marginalized Tattoo in Los Angeles. So follow Josh on social media. And Josh, once again, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you very much, Vince. It was a pleasure.
Always.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.